The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John has a favorite word that he uses quite often. It is translated abide. It actually occurs in this lesson three times, although our translation doesn't translate it that way. I'm going to use it because it's going to be a major theme of the sermon. And so, pay attention to that. Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham, and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying, 'You will be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not abide in the household. The son abides there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
You're ahead of the game. Children, would you come forward and help us proclaim the good news on this 500th anniversary of the Reformation? All are invited. So my question for you today is, well, raise your hand if you have friends. Okay. How much did they cost you?
$0?
$0. Can you buy a friend if you need one? Doesn't work that way, does it? And how do you make friends? You say hi, you be nice. Yes, Rosie? Being kind to everyone, yes. Yes, part of what... sometimes it could be. Martin Luther was telling us at the Reformation is that God's friendship in Christ Jesus costs no money. That's right. He loves us because we are God's creations, and he cares for us, and he abides with us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus does say, "I call you friends," and he's a friend just for today? How long? Forever. And even beyond, right? Yes. Forever and ever, yes. That's right. Today we give thanks for that because of God's free gift for us in Christ Jesus. And then what does Jesus hope that we do or call us to do with friendship? Yes? Loving each other. We share friendship. We make other friends, or sometimes when we see people that have no friends, we can be their friend. Jesus calls you friends today and tomorrow and forever, and asks you to be friends to others. And yesterday. Let's have a prayer together. Almighty God, we give you thanks for this day and every day, for the 500th anniversary of proclaiming good news of the Reformation. We give you thanks for these children whom you call friends and whom you send into the world to be friends to others. Bless them. Bless all who have gathered here. Make us a blessing to many. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. So, as you know, it's rare that I will actually entitle any of my sermons, and I don't do it because then you might expect something, or or I have somewhere to go. But be the Reformation. Part of the theme, I think, is it's not just we, but the whole ELCA and the whole of the Reformation world and the whole of society, I think, that's touched by this is thinking about, well, yes, we are celebrating our history, but really we are looking forward. And how is it that we might be the Reformation as we go forward in life? How we might be the church? How we might be friends to others, as the children said. Throughout Jesus' life and ministry, he's in a lot of conflict about this because he's bringing freedom, he's bringing worth, new life, even friendship to all people. He includes many who had been bound by exclusion, by prejudice, by poverty, who had been defined in his society as unclean, unacceptable, outcasts. He's challenging the powerful religious leaders throughout the Gospels, and particularly in the Gospel of John and our lesson here. He's challenging those folks who see their freedom dependent upon their status and upon the rejection of others who may be of lower status. Today's lesson, Jesus' conversation partners, and in the Gospel of John, it's all about conversation. The really dramatic reformation takes place in Jesus talking with others and conversing with them, helping them see the truth of themselves and the truth of his own coming. But in this conversation with these leaders who are claiming freedom on the basis of ancestry and status, he's challenging them because it effectively excludes others. Jesus' challenge to them is that they are actually slaves to sin. That sin being the incessant activity to keep others subjugated so that oneself might be elevated. Maintaining an identity and so-called freedom on the basis of status, isn't it never-ending work? Because you can never really quite get enough. And in the end, it's violent work, as is ultimately proven by Jesus' crucifixion. The way out to true freedom is to abide in Jesus. He said things are conversational. That is truth, the word made flesh. It's relational. Call it friendship even. And it begins by Jesus living in us and we in him. Because he abides with all, because he abides with everyone, when we abide in him, do we not also abide with others? His friends are our friends. We live with them. Jesus lives with us as Jesus lives with them. That means seeing one another as Jesus sees us, as children of God. In such a life, status, prejudice, stereotyping, scapegoating is set aside. Jesus says, "The truth shall make you free." What is that truth? Again, it's relational. He's the truth. As he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." As the word made flesh, connection to him is connection to God's word of life for all people. That word of life is the fundamental truth, which I believe has animated all of creation. As we read this lesson this morning and others, we need always to remember that Jesus' words are directed not just ages ago, but they're speaking to us. They're speaking to any that might be challenged or understand their life and freedom as defined by status or based upon the diminishment of others. So we don't read this gospel lesson simply to blame Jesus' opponents in that historical time, but to listen for our own lives, to find ourselves in these stories. So we might observe in our current social, political, and religious reality, we must ask, or do we hear Jesus asking, is our freedom based upon status? White America, male America, even so-called Christian America? Or is that a form of slavery to what Jesus is calling sin? How much of our national energy and spirit is directed at what is known as identity politics? That is, our identity being based upon whom we dislike, who our opponents are, who we don't care for. How much energy don't we spend, or how many votes don't we spend in defending, shall we say, justifying that identity? But Jesus the Christ calls us to a new identity, to new life, by abiding in him and his way, which is to abide in the life of others with care and compassion. I'm suggesting today this lesson from John and Jesus' words expand out what Luther was challenging in the Reformation, kind of moving us from being freed from an internal anxiety, which Luther called Anfechtung, to perhaps a greater agency among us. As the children say, we are called to bring friendship, to bring good news, to bring the gospel to others. Perhaps this gives us a vision to what I said earlier, that carrying on the Reformation into the future might mean. Luther experienced in his own life a slavery to a way, to an understanding of Scripture that seemed only to exclude him from the presence of God. Rather than abiding in God or Jesus, he found himself rejected, and it was terrifying for him. In the Reformation, Luther is challenging the hierarchy in a different kind of way, or in a different sense than Jesus is with his opponents in our lesson. A religious world in which transactions were substituted for relationship. That's really why I started out with asking the children about friendship and how relationships work, about abiding in Christ. Luther himself really had tried to make that system work. He tried as hard as any human being could. He was pious as any person could be. He followed all the spiritual practices and pieties of the time. He was so self-denying that probably it's said that he ruined his health by denying himself as a way of trying to be acceptable and worthy of God. He dedicated his whole life to service and the ministry, but still, all of these things did not merit him a healthy relationship with God, because that's not the way it worked. He always felt rejected. And he surmised correctly, if none of these things worked, which were really pretty extraordinary actions, he knew darn well that indulgences wouldn't. Trying to buy one's way into grace or buy one's way out of disgrace. But we seem to keep on trying. One of the tragedies, I would say, of our current political leadership is the apparently constant need to justify the self. Our leader seems always to need more votes, more rallies, more accolades. But we all know that there's never enough to fill up what is missing in our lives. Now, I say this example because I recognize similar dynamics in myself. Perhaps you do as well. Something will be said, or happens that challenges my sense of identity, my very self, the image that I have constructed, or I'll do something that questions it, or simply fail or behave badly. When that happens, doesn't the mind just go into overdrive, overtime to square the matters, to justify ourselves, to make it work out, to convince ourselves so that we convince others, so that we can convince God that we are worthy? This is what Luther understood to be slavery. It's what Jesus calls slavery in the lesson today. It's impossibly hard work, because in the end it doesn't work. We are not abiding. We are trapped. We are slaves. And we can see how whole groups of people get stuck. We come in following the cross. The cross of Christ breaks this cycle. Our insistence, even we might say our obsession, in creating our lives by denying others or by ignoring God's will for life for all. On the cross, Jesus stands with all the rejected. He bears the sin of exclusion that we practice against others. And is that not perhaps his deepest abiding? He comes to us in our hearts and souls, in our lives, where we are most lost, most desperate, most longing for friendship, for forgiveness, for care. Isn't this his deepest truth that changes our lives and makes us free in ourselves and for one another? Is that a price? Or is that his deepest gift to us? To bear our death, to freely offer forgiveness in return, and life in him, and with all those in whom he abides. Let this be our Reformation vision. Let us proclaim once again our faith, our trust in the one who comes and lives in us, bringing us forgiveness and the promise of new life. And as the children echoed, calls us forth to abide with others, to bring this same good news of God in us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Be the Reformation. Amen.